You're listening to Opulent Network Radio on WOPN 1011, Atlanta, Georgia. Each one, teach one, love one. Helping others help themselves.
Hello, everyone. Tonight is Motivational Monday, and it's your girl Naomi Love, and I'm here. I have a special guest with me tonight, and so if you hear a little loved one hosting the show with me, just know that is our miniature co-host here tonight. So you guys know how I just love to come on here and have a conversation with you and get this party started, right? Let's get this party started, right? Okay? And if I could play that song, I probably would. What song is that? Shake It Off to the Left, y'all, right? Okay, so anyway, don't let me get ratchet on here. Tonight is music in my soul. That is why I'm singing like a crazy woman. Music in my soul, music in my soul. What song? That's what tonight's topic is, the music in my soul. And tonight's topic is inspired by my good friend. Congratulations to her. She has... She tried out for a professional dance team, and in her caption after she made this dance team, she said that she had to shout out her Turn Up playlist, because without her playlist, she would have been way more nervous than she was. And I thought to myself, that is so funny, because music has such a great power in our lives, you know. In this instance, it made her less nervous, and like I'm singing to you all right now, you know, it makes us happy and it makes us more connected with life and what's going on around us. So tonight's topic again is the music in my soul. And if you're online with us, I would love to count you in a little while so you can share what your favorite song is and tell me why and what is that song doing for you. I have a few little ratchet songs that are on my list, but the one song that I have just been loving for the past couple of days is Cruisin' by Smokey Robinson. And I don't know what it is about that song, but I just love it. And if I could play it for you, I will. I'll try to pull it up so I can play a little bit of that song for you. And maybe we'll play a little bit of everyone's song here. We just want to have a good time tonight. Last night I was watching, you know how late night TV comes on and then like they are trying to like sell you something. So of course, Peba Bryson and this woman come on my television and they are trying to sell me the classic soul ballads of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So, and there's everybody on these CDs. It's everybody. It's Aretha Franklin. It's Patti LaBelle. It's Auntie Nita, as I like to call her, or Anita Baker. There's, I think, Toni Braxton's on there. There's The Temptations, Smokey Robinson, Peba Bryson, the Commodores. Who else was there? It was a long list of people. I think Vanessa Williams had a song on there, and the Staple Sisters, and someone else. It was so many people, and they compiled this list. I believe it was like 150 songs that they compiled for this CD set, and And they put it all together. They put all the people on there, and they're selling the CDs. And, you know, so they're playing some of the music, and I'm like, oh, I just love this music. And I wasn't even born during that time, but it's just something about it when I hear it. So if anybody else is here, you guys know I'll just talk to you all night. But we're not going to have a long show tonight. We just want to get on, get it. So it's 9:05, and those are some of the songs that have been on my mind. And we talked about black music and all that this past these past weeks. We talked about the influence of music and the influence of social media on our communities, and you know, and this is a great next step to take it, the influence of music on our lives. How does it make you feel? What does it make you think of? How does it help you get through the day? You know, those kinds of things. Or you know, what kind of music do you not like? What is it that they make you feel, you know? We are musical beings, so it's so important to, you know, just think about these things. There's something different to talk about other than drama, you know? So if there's anybody on the line who wants to share their favorite song, tell us why it's your favorite, then I'm listening. The floor is yours. The Navigator is here tonight, too. Hold on. I'm making sure all the lines are open. So all the lines are open.
Hola.
Hey.
Hello. How's everybody doing tonight?
Everybody's doing good. Very good.
Can you hear me? Okay, wonderful.
Yep, I
wonderful.
Hear you.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. So I'm going to get mine out because I'm in the office and my bird is talking to me and he's telling me he wants to play right now. So, and as I hear your little man, he's wanting to play and do all kinds of busy things. So my song, a favorite of all time, is Denise Williams, I'm Free. Hello? Are you there?
I'm listening.
You can't
okay,
hear me?
Why? Why? No, I hear you.
Why
is this your favorite song?
Because of all the daily tasks that we have to do and the things that we're required to do. And once we do them, then we start to do things that we love and we cherish and we want to be, to be a part of. And so I consider myself free. So when you're free as a bird to be as what you want to be. So that's why I just want to be free, free. I can't remember, but that's my song. So and what else you want me to know? What was the other question?
Let's see. You said why that was your favorite. You said what your favorite song is, why it's your favorite song, and do you have, other than kind of what you just explained, do you have like a special connection to it, or is there a song that comes to mind when you think about something that you, you know, getting through life or anything like that? A song that comes to you that you know that helped you get through, or a song that is connected with a special moment in your life.
That would be Earth, Wind & Fire Fantasy.
Okay, and what is the special moment?
The special moment, I can't say real special moment, but it's the way that they present the words and lyrics in that song of, it's fantasy, but it's realistic. And that's what a lot of people are in this world that I happen to meet, and some of them are good acquaintances and some of them are not, but some of them feel... I should say that, like, the whole world, some, you know, I'll let me give you a great example, because I'm like, be quiet. It's like number 45. is this real or is this a joke? So their song is fantasy. It's, when you say fantasy, you think of dreaming of this, living on an island, blah, blah, blah. But what they're speaking on is true. It's not a fantasy. So that's my connection with it. Because I look at this world and all the stuff that it has to offer, which is trickery, foolishness, and whatever. You got to get down to the nitty-gritty and be for real and keep it 100. You know what I'm saying? So that's what connects me to that. Because I know what fantasy is, but do y'all know what real world is?
Mm-hmm.
Word to your mother from another.
Word to your mother. So I'm going to play just a snippet of the first song that you said, Free. So I hope you guys enjoy this. I hope you enjoy this, Miss Lane. And we have Free by Denise Williams.
Thank you.
Yes, I love that song. That's such a wonderful song. I hope you enjoyed that.
I did. Brought me back to my other favorite song, Back Down Memory Lane. Hey.
I love that song. I'm going to have to put that on my playlist. I just realized how much I love that song. And another Denise Williams song that I like is It's Silly. It's so funny. And I love Silly. Silly of Me. I love that song. She's such a beautiful voice. Okay, so thank you so much, Miss Lane, for taking us down Denise Williams Lane. Dr. Navigator, I know you are here with us. Come enlighten us. How are you feeling about tonight's topic? What do you got to share with us? You know, we just want to have a good time. So tell us what you're thinking.
Love to the line.
Love to the line.
Now, I was thinking about Black Butterfly when I thought about Denise Williams, but I'm going to leave that alone.
You got to stand now. You got to stand.
Black Butterfly.
You know, for real. But tonight, you know, we were talking about music, and I was just reflecting back on some of the things I heard, you know, Sister Naomi say, the music she was speaking, the artists she was speaking. And I was thinking about the time when they was actually in rotation. And then I thought about what Miss Lane said. So I was just going to sit back and I said, well, you know, I think what I have to offer is going to be a good closing. So I think I'm going to, you know, pretty much let y'all go ahead and do what y'all do. But I will give you this much before I just sit back in the cut. See,
okay.
many Negro spiritual music songs. See, when we, you know, how you said last week, you know, you told me in the little flyer about, you know, it's like our soul, how we felt inside. And when music first became part of our way of expressing ourselves, when you think about the 19th century and you hear about all the African, you know, slave, you know, songs, you know, it was when American You know, and this one time I like to say African American because I say slave behind it. Community, you know, they spoke about community songs and how they were trying to, you know, become free and, you know, they were yearning for freedom and how they were, you know, hoping to uplift themselves out of suffering and their belief in a higher power, you know, how it was, you know, actually preserved in tough times. You know, it was our way of expressing ourselves. And it was so, in doing so, we had such a well-connected bond that everybody felt the same way. Because everybody was going through the same turmoil, the same struggle. So when you spoke of a song or you made a song and you were saying about what you was going through, guess what? Everybody could relate to it. This is why so many people love Tupac. Because, you know, he spoke about things that, you know, you've seen when you open your front door. No matter what, if you was on the East Coast, West Coast, if the South, the North, wherever you was at. And this is why, you know, when you hear Dear Mama, everybody have a mama. So you could feel it. You know, but now we're going to talk about the music that you were speaking of. When we talk about Denise Williams, man, you know, everybody can relate to it because it was during a time where, you know, I just wanted to be free and, you know, the Black Butterfly and, you know, it was silly. You know, and these things just automatically, and I was a little boy, but I can remember hearing my sister listen to it, and it just became a part of me too. When I grew older, hey, that was a song that I had to have, an album I had to go get. But now, well, we had a whole nother, you know, dimension in music, communication, expressing ourselves through music that I think I'm going to wait to the closing to tell you about, and that's Love to the Lions.
Oh, thank you. I'm looking forward to that. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I can't wait to hear what you have to say. But I am gonna open the floor if anybody else wants to speak. But if not, I'm just going to continue basically off of what Dr. Navigator said, that that music is absolutely the anchor, basically, the anchor of our souls. Is there someone who wants to speak?
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead. I hear you. I'm listening. Go ahead.
Yes. I always like to go back to my brother George Benson with the song Masquerade. He was the beginning of my exposure to jazz, and who came from way back until the current music.
And does it have? So you said it take you back to your first exposure to jazz, and is there some kind of like significant event or? Or, like, what do you think? Does it take you back to a certain time anytime you hear this song? What is it about this song that just makes it your favorite?
It takes me back to my the good old days for me, back in the early 80s, going over to New York City, hanging out in the Village and going from there on to the military. Venturing off to different places, but always being able to escape with the crazy, you know, times of responsibilities and duties to just kick back and relax to some good old jazz music. It's been very, very soothed into my soul. So yes, it helped out a lot.
I actually pulled it up while you were speaking on it, and just in the beginning of this song, and this is, I love this topic because it's giving the chance for you guys to speak on something and give us a way to connect, you know, because now I can look up the songs that you all love and I can listen to them, and I'm like, this is Miss Lane's song, and this is Brother G's song. And, you know, and that's a special way for us to all relate to one another in a new way. But, you know, it's funny because I like jazz music, but I can hardly ever find, like, the kind of, I have a very eclectic, I would like to say, or eccentric, you know, that kind of ear for music. So I like all different types of music, and I'm not solely focused on just black artists or white artists or Hispanic or Indian. You know, there's just something, the music just has to have a certain way about it. But I love all kinds of music. And as I was playing this George Benson Masquerade, just the beginning of the song is just like, you know, it's very just, I guess this is his album cover that they're showing. It's called Breezin'. And I don't know, for some reason, just listening to the very beginning of this song, and there's some kind of guitar playing as well. Wow. It already sounds like a good song, and I'm just trying to make sure that it's not a, you know, some kind of mix. You know, people out here need to be remixing people's songs and all that kind of stuff, but no, this is actually, okay, this is his song. I see him with the guitar in another video. But yeah, I'm excited to hear this song. So once it loads in a little bit, I got you. I'm going to play a little bit of it for you. But I'm really excited that you have shared this. George Benson gave us another little tidbit. And I love just that. I just love that it takes you back through, you know, such a wonderful time in your life, being able to just, you know, think of having fun and important changes in your life, going into the military, and like you said, always being able to at one feel at peace, you know, that kind of thing. So that's amazing. Let's see if I can get a little bit of it up.
Are we really happy here with this lonely game we're playing? Looking for
oh, God, this is another one that I'm going to have to add to my playlist. Ooh, I love it. It's so soulful, so sultry. Ooh, it reminds me of, like, Sade. Ooh, very nice. Thank you so much. I'm excited. I'm going to put that one on my playlist so I can just have my little one dancing around the house to it. I love that song. That's a great song. I always kind of said that at one point in life, I think I was or maybe in a past life or something, I was some kind of like musical, you know, I don't know if there's a word for this, but the kind of person who just knows, like, if a song is a good song. I can literally tell you if a song is a good song within like the first 5 to 10 seconds, maybe 7 seconds. If I hear the first 7 seconds of a song, I'm like, okay, this is a good song. Or I hear the first 7 seconds and I'm like, nope, turn it. And most times I'm right. So I don't know, but I can tell that this is a good song from the very beginning. So this is another one that I'm going to add to my playlist. Thank you so much, Brother G, for introducing me to that song. And let's see, Dr. Navigator, oh, hold on, we got a caller. Hey, caller 8338.
Hola, 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 hola.
Okay, that's you. All right.
I had to switch lines.
Oh, okay. Okay. Something else that Dr. Navigator said that I wanted to touch bases on was that was when he was talking about the spiritual hymns, the Negro hymns. So there's this book that I've been reading as a part of my book club, and it's called Homegoing by Yah Gossie. And for Gyasi, I believe, Y-A-A-G-Y-A-S-I. And it's this genealogical story of an African family and how their family, it starts with one woman or one family. It starts with one woman, and then, and she has two daughters. And there's daughter, and it just follows the tale of the daughters and their lineages. And it's so crazy because this one woman had two daughters, but one side of the daughter, one family ended up in slavery. One side of the lineage ended up in slavery and in America, and the other side of the lineage, they remained in Africa, and, you know, and within the African villages, and and, you know, they're living a totally different life. And it's a very emotional book, right? But something, when I was reading about the slavery, when it got to the part in the book where the lineage had reached slavery, it was talking about hymns, and it was talking about, you know, songs and the language, and, you know, and even when it was talking about the people who were still in Africa and how their men had went off to war, and they would get up every morning and sing the songs of war throughout the village. And sing and dance throughout during victories and all those kinds of things. That's just what Dr. Navigator's statement reminded me of, that music is an anchor for our souls. It is a connection to our people. It is a connection through two people. Just as Miss Elaine and Brother G have given us songs, and like I said, it's already made me feel a little more connected, more relatable with them, and there's songs that I'm adding to my own collection. But, you know, I was just saying that to say. That music is so important to us. It carries us. It carries our family. It carries our lineages. It carries us throughout time. It carries us through moments. You know, there are so many gospel songs that I hear, and I have some of the lyrics posted. I have a certain song posted on my daily board that I look at every day because the words truly just speak to my soul and my personal connection with God, you know. So those things help get me through the day. Those things help me get through moments in time, difficult moments when I can call back and recall the lyrics of a song, and I can say, you know, this is so applicable to this moment, you know, those kinds of things. So, yeah, just a very brief thing that I wanted to say there, and I'm trying to get to the end of it because I want to hear what Dr. Navigator has to say. I'm trying to get all my thoughts out, let's see. And I think the other thing that I just wanted to briefly talk about was something that we discussed within this past month about how music affects our society, how music affects our children, and whether we need to hold artists accountable for the content that they are producing and what we are letting our children listen to and all those kinds of things. Because as you can see, music has changed. Just how Dr. Navigator said, Tupac, he was relatable, you know, with so many people, but you know, the rappers these days are not like Tupac, you know what I'm saying? They are not necessarily rapping about lives that they live, and they might be encouraging encouraging people to live certain lives that, you know, are fantasy, in short. I'm sorry, got a chat room message, but, you know, those things are fantasy, in short. And so those are things that we also have to talk about, especially because the songs that you have all mentioned tonight, the songs that we've all mentioned tonight, you know, those are songs that are, they're songs of love, they're songs of memory, they're songs of, you know, of encouragement and freedom and, you know, and songs that make you think, you know, and we're missing that music. I believe that we have Sister Stephanie on the line. Sister Stephanie, if you're here, I would love to hear from you. I haven't heard from you in so long. So if you're here, I would love to hear what you have to say about what your favorite song is, and tell me so I can put it on my playlist.
Well, hey, Naomi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
No problem. I was just thinking, I honestly don't know that I have a favorite song, but I enjoy
okay.
music because for me, music is a doorway to memories, you know, long forgotten. I can hear a song and instantly be back in, you know, depending on what type of song it is, I could be back in high school with my friends, know exactly where I was, what I was doing. I remember when the song came out, you know, so it instantly takes me back to things that I might not remember without that trigger. And I love having,
mm-hmm.
you know, those things that take me there. But I really love motivational music because, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you can be sitting around the house and you know you need to get up and do something. And this great song comes on, and next thing you know, you're up and you're kind of dancing to it, moving around. And, man, I'll get my whole house cleaned if you get the right music going. It's just, it makes you
mm-hmm.
move. It makes you want to do something. And, you know, you take gospel music and you take, the new contemporary music that a lot of churches are playing. And it's sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's just so hard to sit in that pew. You know you need to get up. You know God's talking to you. He moves through you. Your heart's pounding. And that song a lot of times is what triggers that emotion to come out. It's in there, but sometimes
mm-hmm.
very deep. But when that music
mm-hmm.
hits the right note, the right sound, man, you know when he's talking to you. And so you got to get up
mm-hmm.
and you got to do something. And that is why I love music. I mean, my day at work would
yeah.
be so long if it wasn't for the music that comes on that just kind of helps you move through it. And so, you know, it
mm-hmm.
does a lot to you, not just necessarily the there's so many types. We all have different moods through the day, and there's so many different songs that can trigger that. You know, I heard,
mm-hmm.
I seen this thing on Facebook today. It said, you say 3-hour ride, I say 3-hour concert featuring me. You know, and that's kind of how it is when I'm in the car. You turn it up and you just
mm-hmm.
sing along, and before you know it, you're where you want to be. And so, you know, I love the motivation behind music.
Right.
So,
yes.
You know, that's mainly, you know, I think Navigator covered a lot of it earlier, but that's my main feelings towards
yeah.
the different styles of music.
Right. What is a song? Well, you said a while ago that you were in a band growing up. So you are.
I wasn't in a band. I was a groupie.
No. Oh,
no,
okay.
I
thought your family. It was something with your
my
family, right?
My ex-husband was in a band, and he wrote the lyrics, and all of his friends were the musicians. So when I say a groupie, it's like there's times we would go to play downtown Athens. We played downtown Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so we were the ones that kind of, the wives and the girlfriends and the close friends to the band members were the ones who kind of motivated the rest of the crowd to want to be a part of what we were doing. You know, if we just sat
mm-hmm.
there and didn't move, they had a tendency not to. But if we got involved and, you know, we encouraged, then you found the rest of the crowd kind of going with you. Because,
right.
I mean, that's the whole point in doing these kind of shows is, you know, to just let loose and enjoy. So, yeah,
right.
Well, I call myself a groupie more than I was a band. Because motivating.
Well, no. But you were still around the music. You were still very much so a part of the music. Like you said, you helped bring the crowd to life. And, I mean, you know, what is it as a musician, you get up there and you play your music and nobody is enjoying it or no one is interacting with you, no one's up dancing, you know. That's why people create music, because they want a way to relate to people. They want people to feel, like you said, like if you're in church and you just feel the music. I love when I go to church. I think, you know, when I got of age to really understand, like, what was happening at church, I was like, I only come here for the music. Okay, well, not only come there, but, like, my main reason for coming was for the music. Because the music was just, I don't know, Sister Stephanie, it just did something to me. Like you said, it hit a certain note, or a certain person was leading the song, or the song was just with the sermon at a certain time. And, you know, things happen in beautiful ways. And I was like, you know what? If I just need to hear some good music, I'm coming to church. And you know, that is something that has totally stuck with me. So, yeah, I love that you added that in there. Do we have anybody else who wants to share? What's your favorite song right now? What's your favorite song of all time? Or what's your favorite song right now? What's getting you in the groove these days? Yeah, go ahead and share. And if not, Dr. Navigator, I'm ready for you.
Well, once again, love to the line.
Love to the line.
You know, I said, and I listen, and, you know, so Stephanie, you know, I truly appreciate the inspiration that you brought to the line. And, you know, Ms. Lane, the energy that you brought, and Sister Naomi, you know, a beautiful topic. But this closing, and this is one time I got a closing where I can actually give it a title. You know, when I think about music, what is music? Entertainment. What is, you know, social media? Entertainment. What is the news? Both are informative, but it's really entertainment. So when we talk about entertainment, is social media and music killing our youth, or is the killing of our youth entertainment? See, and I'm going to say that again. Is social media and music killing our youth, or is the killing of our youth entertainment? See, this is the whole point of this. We sat back and we listened to music now, but everything that we heard tonight about when people went to reflection, even when they went to talk about, you know, the old jazz and you know, she would, you know, bring up Denise Wilson and, you know, when Patti LaBelle, all the stuff that we heard to reflect back on music was of old. Then nobody speak of nothing of the modern day music. So I didn't want to be biased. So I went and listened to some music. This week I've been listening to the radio, which I never do. And it was on the radio. There was a song that every other word, beep, 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 they had to beat out everything because the whole song was about being on the dance floor and making it clap. I remember my mama used to say, and I didn't want to seem like I was old, but I guess I'm going to have to embrace it. Well, you know, see, my mama would say, that's talking music when she would hear a rap. And, you know, I'd be like, oh, you know, man, y'all tripping. But now I listen to music. And you can't even hear the music because it's like every other song, every other word got to be beat up because the name of the song was making it clap. So what, you know, what are you talking about making clap? You want the audience to clap? No, that wasn't what it was about. They were talking about this woman, you know, behind, making it clap. And there was a song in the middle of the day, you know, when, you know, I guess people during lunch hour, and it was the big song, making it clap. And it's disturbing to me because in the process of that, do anybody realize when you're on the dance floor or you think you want to make it clap, when you think a little girl, when she get in a video and she make it clap, that it actually, you know, give her an eyesight, a role to travel that going to make what? Sex. What is a thing that's killing our youth right now? Sex. AIDS. You know, when you got a whole school in one county that got 23 little girls that's in the sophomores in high school that's HIV positive. See, it started with the music that make it clap. Well, when you're on the dance floor, you making it clap. Well, the dude over here that's the big drug dealer or, you know, the guy that everybody looking up to, that's who he's looking at, the little girl that's making it clap. Well, you know, this guy is going to be subjected to all types of different diseases are, you know, he's going to have an interaction with a lot of women because, you know, he's the big man on the block. Well, his little girl that's making it clap has just became a victim in his scope. But this is what our music is projecting. But then when you go back to thinking about the Denise Williams and, you know, your Vincent's and, your I Want to Be Free, or you think about your old Negro hymns and you think about the music that Miss Stephanie spoke about, that when you was in the church and you just felt like God was talking directly to you. You think about the 70s. See, back in the 70s, you know, we expressed ourselves because it was a time where, you know, it was a revolutionary period for blacks. But we had pride in ourselves and in our music. We made undeniable fashion statements. And we had, like, black music, you know, where it addressed issues of racism and war. And we loved ourselves and our communities. You know, we're talking about a time where, you know, parents would have 4 and 5 children and the daddy would be there. It was a time of blue light in the basement. Well, yeah, Marvin Gaye said, let's get it on. And they were getting it on, but guess what? When she had a child, he didn't depart and leave her to raise that child. Because we was already in a war. We was in a revolutionary war. We was in a war for what? Our self-dignity. But we were unapologetic for being black, but we just wanted to let it be known that we were not going to shed our, you know, shed a tail or tuck our tail, that we were going to be men. But now, think about the music now. Is a man being a man in the lyrics that we hear? Is a man showing respect to a woman? And it don't have nothing to do with color. We're talking about a woman, period, in the music that we hear now. So your little boys that listen to this music, he is raised to not have no respect for a woman. So then we think about the 80s. See, there was a time where we was introduced to what? Hip-hop, where the First Amendment was actually being expressed. But now you talk to somebody and you ask them the First Amendment, a child don't even know that means the freedom of speech. But we're talking about in the 80s where, you know, Luke Skywalker just made a song just so he could let it be known. The First Amendment gave us the freedom of speech. And we got introduced to hip-hop, and it was all in New York and, you know, down south and east, west coast, everywhere. Well, people were just rapping, and we were looking at the video with Breaking and Electric Boogaloo, and everybody just wanted to be hip-hop. It didn't say if you wanted a battle, if you had a problem with somebody, guess how you deal with it. You dance to get with hip-hop music. You dance to get you battle rap. You know, I looked at a show the other day about Roxanne. When she had a problem, she didn't even pull out a knife. She didn't fight the little girls. They battle rap. And this is how people express themselves. This means our community wasn't, you know, subjected to murder and killing. I killed you on wax. Then we thought about the 90s. And that was really the last, you know, that was the last decade when R&B, not hip-hop, was dominated. It was a dominated force in the black community. You know, hip-hop kind of eased to the side that R&B came into play. And, you know, we could sit back and you can listen to your Sade's and your Anita Baker's. And, man, you know, you were good. You looked at your boyfriend, and you had a glow about you. And, you were good. You felt good about yourself. And then we went into the 2000s, to where we at now. And now all you hear about the degradation of women, getting on the dance floor and making it clap. Talk about how you got a big old pistol. Talk about how you can trap or die. Yet, and still, we all know young Jesus can walk across the stage. He didn't trap, nor did he die. You are projecting images, propaganda to our communities that is killing our youth, but it is making you extremely rich. Imagine if the black Negro hymn back of the day had the opportunity to go gold platinum. Many people would have been triple platinum because we all interacted with this music. But now we sit back and we're looking at our children, our community, to deteriorate with the same music that we all talking about. Yeah, I like that. You got grown women, old grandmothers talking about that's the jam. Baby, you can't even make it clap. You're wearing a diaphragm. You can't. It's over with. Yet and still, you get caught up in the fashion of a music system that say, hey, I like this latest song. Why? Because you have nothing else to listen to. I just told you a few weeks ago, 90% of all our entertainment coming from media is controlled by 6 companies. This is the entertainment that is being projected to our communities. Even our grandmother became subjected to it. So if the grandmother is subjected to it, that means the daughter and the son is subjected to it. That means the grandchild is subjected to it. Meaning that it has trickled down to now our community is being subjected to the latest music, meaning that everybody's trying to make it clout. You put something on Facebook and you said something about education. Put something on Facebook and you're talking about knowledge. Put something on Facebook and you're talking about the uplift in our community. You'll get 10 likes. put some on Facebook where you say, hey, I want to make it clap, and you have a million people sharing it. So do you not see that we are being not only a pillar of the deterioration of our community, we are accessible. We are part of the reason, because we have became accessible to the latest fashion of music, because this is the only thing that we can think of, entertainment. So once again, I go back and I ask, is entertainment, social media, music, is it killing our youth? Or is the killing of our youth becoming social entertainment? Let somebody shoot somebody in a school and watch on every news channel we'll be sending for a week. Let somebody go shoot somebody in Vegas and kill 58 people. It's on every news channel. It's everywhere. It has just become entertainment, right? Meaning that these other children that is being, you know, bullied, these children that is being deprived, these children that is lonely, they see the results of what happened to the little boy that went into the school that were lonely and deprived and bullied. And now look at all the attention he got. So now within 13 days, we got another shooting. So my question is entertainment, is it really killing our youth? Or is the killing of our youth entertainment? And as always, love to the learning.
Whoa. First of all, Dr. Navigator, well, what did you say? You said, I can't even say what you said. You said, I don't know, but she's making it clap. Oh, my God. Clap. You know, it's crazy. I've had this conversation lots of times about the effects of music, you know, the effects of music. And that's why I said before you began, you know, we started this conversation last week and we were saying, is it that we need to hold our artists accountable? What is it that we need to change? Because like you're saying, we're listening to the entertainment, or it is considered as entertainment these days, but you know, the messages throughout the years as you went down have changed. And, you know, I was talking with someone and he said, you know, he thinks that this past generation, maybe like the 30-year-olds are probably like the most ratchet, you know, like there's like the knuck if you buck and there's, you know, all the, you know, just real hype club songs about fighting and all that kind of stuff. But then kind of like you were saying, like a lot of the songs now that our kids are exposed to are highly sexual. So, you know, yeah, that's a lot to think about. Anybody else? Anybody want to respond to what Dr. Navigator said? Yeah, it's a wow. Dr. Navigator, you always come in and lay it on. He says, love to the line, let me lay all of this on you. But no, seriously, and I was following what you were saying, that we hear, you know, we hear it from the same media companies. You know, they're all feeding us all of the same kind of, you know, information. You can't get it, you can't escape it unless you just totally disconnect yourself from those things. And it's crazy because, like you said, it's reached a grandmother. And once it reaches the grandmother, it's reached her whole lineage. It's reached her children and their children and their children, you know. And once Making It Clap has reached the grandmother, then I don't know, we're in for a rude awakening. But yeah, what was I about to say? I just lost it. I just lost my train of thought. Well, I really want someone to respond. Anybody have anything?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and say something. I got something to say.
Okay, hey.
Hey, what's up?
I'm listening. Go ahead. This is Casanova, everybody. Casanova. Go ahead, Casanova. Lay it on us.
Nah, I mean, really, it's just a statement of agreement, I guess. You know, I just agree. You know what I mean? Because the music has such a huge influence on the growth, on what our people grow. I mean, how our people grow, sorry. How we grow and develop and what we think about. And, you know, if you grow up your whole life thinking about making it clap and twerking or getting money and flossing on the next person, you know, just get embedded, you know, because music is waves, you know, and waves, your brain works on waves. So whenever you got waves propagating in your head, whatever those waves are going to be synchronized with your brain, and your brain is going to automatically, you know, it's automatically going to cling for that. It's going to have an affinity for it. So, you know, I don't know the numbers, but, you know, based on the people that I know, they, for the most part, only listen to one type of music, you know what I mean? So that's, they only get one type of perspective, which is kind of unfair for the most part, but, you know, it is what it is. Different strokes for different folks, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you say that people only listen to one type of music, that, like you said, a statement of agreement that really falls in line with what Dr. Navigator is saying, because the people are only listening to shoot 'em up, make it clap, you know, then that's how they perceive life to be. And it's not just music, it's television as well. If you're only watching, you know, shows of, you know, dramatic television or emotional television, then that's how you perceive life. That's how you interact with people in your everyday life, you know. And it's funny because really just when you said that, it just made me think there are always times when I can tell if a person is watching a lot of Atlanta Housewives or basketball, Love and Hip Hop, those kinds of things, because they are very dramified. They're ready to fight. They're ready to, you know what I'm saying, like you said, stun on them, floss on them. And it's kind of like, where are you getting this? I can tell that this is not necessarily you, but this is what you are feeding yourself every single day, mentally and spiritually. This is what you're feeding yourself. And what you're feeding yourself, what you give yourself, is what you put out into the world. Just how when you feed yourself food, you excrete it later, and that's exactly what happens. You're feeding yourself mentally, you're feeding yourself spiritually, and you get out into the world and you interact with people and you are excreting those things that you have seen people do on television or seen or heard people rap about or sing about in their music, and you think that that's the way that you're supposed to live your life when, you know, it's not. And that takes us way far away from what Sister Stephanie said and what I said, what Miss Elaine said, what Brother G said, when all the music that we were thinking of brought us to a happy place, brought us to a loving place, and brought us to a place of strength or a place of good memories and good time. And Sister Stephanie said she can hear a song and it takes her, man, I remember when this was in high school, you know, that's what music has represented to so many people over the years, and it still represents that to us now. But as you said in the beginning of your statement, you know, in order for you to really kind of have that impact or in order for music to be truly good to you, you have to be able to disconnect from the matrix. You can't listen to the radio every single day, and you can't watch the television every single day. You have to go on YouTube or whatever and find your own music and listen to your own artists and, again, disconnect from the matrix. So, yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes disconnecting from the matrix isn't necessarily as simple as, you know, as it sounds, you know, because I mean, I always said, you know, I'm not really, I feel like our community has internal problems. You know, we have internal problems that manifest themselves into external problems because we allow media and we allow our own brothers and sisters to criminalize us, and that affects the way other people perceive us in our own communities and surrounding communities. For example, mm-hmm. the way I've seen studies that have shown that, you know, major news companies over criminalize black people, and they were talking about the effects that has on people. So when you see, I mean, I don't know who's on the line, but, you know, when you see how people look at you, or they clinch their kids, or they, you know, they just make different kind of just weird movements when they see you around. I remember watching, reading a story about that actually in high school. But anyway, it's, you know, I just, you know, it's, we have some internal issues, and I feel like before we start marching and doing stuff, we need to really, there needs to be a war raised on the music industry and the media industry, because if not, then nothing is going to change, because the mindset of our youth is always going to be polluted. And I've always said that if them folks want to make them kind of records, man, they need to make a streaming service and put that on the and make that something that people got to pay for, as opposed to, you know, just putting it freely on the radio. Because, yeah, they might be censoring it, they ain't saying no curse words, but the content is still there and the meaning and everything's behind it. So if I be like, I want that in the, you know, you just, that's not really censorship. That's just, you just can't hear the words that they're saying. The content is still there. It's still adult content that we just, you know, publicly right. blasting into kids' ears.
And it's only so many words that will go in those. It's only so many words that will fill in those blanks, you know?
And not even that. It's just the fact that you might be a kid when you hear it. You might be 4 or 5 when you hear it, but then when you hear it again and you turn 10 and you got a little bit more exposure to more words and more,
exactly.
you know, more other media, then you start going back and realizing what's being said, you know, because I know when Young mm-hmm. Jeezy came out, nobody really knew what he was talking about my age, you know, unless they had immediate older brothers and sisters. But nobody really knew what he was talking about until we got older and we was able to get exposure to more things like that, more TV, more drama, more, you know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's all I got, though.
I love
what he had to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
Excuse me, but and I was sitting and I was listening to him, you know, I was really, you know, I was trying to see what point that he was really making, and he had a valid point, you know. But when we talk about if you had opportunities where they can buy it, see, that's where the powers that be, number 45, him and his people, will tell you that, why would they want you to buy something that they know is deteriorating from your community anyway? See, this is the whole point. See, now you're going to make me go into the New World Order. The New World Order said their number one principle was, if you keep them divided, you don't have to worry about them uniting and becoming strong. So if you keep us divided with such things as, you know, propaganda within our music, our entertainment, see, it's not a big surprise that our prisons are overcrowded. It's with blacks. It's not no big surprise that you can look at a you know, social media and you see a funeral, everybody wearing a T-shirt, rest in peace, whoever. It's not no big surprise that, you know, our children is not graduating. I don't have no desire to go into college. It's no surprise that you have a 14-year-old little girl that can tell you about oral sex better than a 40 or 50-year-old mother or grandmother. So, see, what you're doing is you're killing the spirit. And if you kill one spirit, you don't have to worry about them growing into nothing. They're going to be productive. So they wouldn't make you pay to kill them. See, they don't have to kill you no more. They let entertainment. See, this is the whole point. Is entertainment killing our youth, or is the youth of our, or is the killing of our youth entertainment? Once again, love to the line, and I salute.
Amen to that. Thank you so much, everyone, for calling in tonight. This is an amazing topic, and I just want to continue to open up the floor. We have a little bit more time left. If there's anyone who wants to say anything else about anything that's been said, the floor is open, and we'd love to hear from you. Nova, if you're still here, I want to ask you, our question of the night was, what is your favorite song and why? So if you're still here, please let us know, what's your favorite song and why? Or your favorite song right now or anything?
My favorite song?
Yeah.
I had a bunch of favorite songs. I would have to say that it might be I don't know. I don't really, I mean, I haven't listened to music so long, not no new music.
Well, it doesn't have to be new music, because we talked about, we took it all the way back. We took it all the way back. Brother G mentioned some jazz music from his military days. So, anything.
I would have to say, I'm gonna be honest with you, I've been jacked in. I was jacked in for a good majority of my life. So I like all the ratchet stuff really, back in the day.
Yes, tell us. What is it?
I mean, it's so much of it. But no, actually really I like rigor mortis. Rigor mortis might have to be one of my favorite songs.
Rigor mortis. Is that Kendrick Lamar?
Yeah, that's Kendrick Lamar.
Rigor mortis.
Yeah, I mean I had to say if I had to pick a song, that'd be one of my favorite ones. And it was just because at the time when he was coming out, it was just he just hit on a lot of real touchy points about the music industry and what they had going on and how he was going to be the one that changed the game. And, you know, he actually did. That was pretty cool, too, that he changed the game like that. Not everybody checking for him. So,
right.
I had to say that.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm going to pull it up in a minute, and we're going to play a little bit of Rigor Mortis by Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar came out around like Kendrick Lamar was a underground artist, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he was underground for a while, and then he came out. He really started getting popular around like 2010, 2011, I think.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, I mean, he went by K-Dot for a while, so he'd been out for a while. He was actually underground. He was technically underground up until the point where he had swimming pools. Whenever swimming pools came out, pull up, drink, that song. Whenever he came out with that song, that was when he was not, that's when he was no longer considered underground artist.
I have a funny story about Kendrick Lamar. There's a song when I pulled up his Rigor Mortis song, the rest of the songs that were on that album came up. And there's a song on this album, it's called Section 80. And there's a song on this album called The Spiteful Chant. And this is embarrassing, but when I heard that song, I was like having some kind of, you know, issues with people in my life. And when I heard this song, I was like, this is the song of my life. It was, I'm not going to embarrass myself continuously. I'm not going to tell you the words to the song, but I'm just going to let you know, it's a really rough song, okay? Like, he's really basically like telling people, like, I don't care, I don't give any craps about what you got to say about me, I don't care how you feel about me, all these kinds of things. So when I was feeling this way, I told my mom. I was like, Mom, there's this new song, and I love this song, I want you to hear this song, and this is just how I feel. So I played the song for my mother, and she was like, okay, in the beginning of the song, it was like, you know, it was cool. But then he starts like really getting into it, like, you know, I really don't give a nothing about you people. And she was like, okay, let's turn this off. You know, she just like quietly turned down the dial and was like, okay, are you okay? So, you know, that was just a little embarrassing moment that I had with Kendrick Lamar. But, you know, at that time, and that goes to the importance of music, like I said, at that time I was going through a lot of different things just with people in my life. And so when I heard that song, I instantly connected to it. And even though it's a rough song, even though it's a really rough song, you know, I was like, look, this is how I feel. And I really connected with Kendrick Lamar on that song. So, yeah, Rick and Mortis and Dr. Navigator, before we close out, I want to get to you as well. But let's hear Rick and Mortis, okay?
All right, here we go. Yeah, I'm the music of dragons. I crack your head in your basket, your basket. I'm barely laughing with madness. My chest imagine the magic. I like to ask. Don't ask for your favorite rapper.
He did.
Okay.
Amen.
Sure.
He did.
I feel him.
Amen.
Bitch. And this is Rick and Mortis, and it's gorgeous when you die. I just recorded it, I'm orphaned, it's a matrix in my mind. I'm out of orbit, you're an orphan, and I'm an orphan, I'm on the toilet when I find it. It's just a magic line.
I love Kendrick Lamar because his flow is just ridiculous. It always has been, always will be. So that was
I think that album is you can actually have an entire session about that album, because actually the album is mainly directed towards the Ronald Reagan era and his supposed war on drugs and how that affected the black community, and how in Section 8, that's the results from that. So the title itself is actually a play on words, because it's just talking about what the 80s had to do with what's going on with us right now. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, and that's great that you actually brought that up, because Dr. Navigator, so this is a great album for you to get into if you're interested in getting into some newer music. Kendrick Lamar, the album is Section 80, and like Casanova just explained, has a lot to do. He's speaking a lot on the Reagan era, and basically what he said is where Section 8 comes from. So that sounds like another topic that you guys are bringing out of us. But, Dr. Navigator, before we close out, let us know, what's your favorite song and why?
Well, you know, I'm a Tupac fanatic, right? You know,
okay.
I'm a Tupac fanatic. You know, I just love everything about pop. And so my favorite song would most naturally have to be a pop song. And my favorite song by Tupac is White Man's World. And the reason, when it starts, he says something like, what makes you ashamed of being black? And it just touched me. Because I would like to know the answer to that question, too. Why do black people, why are we ashamed of being black? I told you in the 70s, man, we were non-apologetic. Man, you had your Malcolm X's and your Muhammad Ali's, and, man, you know, we had our own fashion, and, man, it was beautiful. You looked at a black woman, you called her a queen, and, you know, you never would utter the word, call her a B. You know, she was queens, and black were beautiful. Your Jane Brown was, you know. But now, you ask a black person, they'll tell you, oh, well, I'm mixed with this, and I'm mixed with that. They'll tell you they everything yourself black. So, you know, that's my favorite song. What, you know, White Man's World.
Okay, so we're going to play a little bit of that for you. And then once it's done, do you mind playing us out for the night?
Yes, ma'am. I'm honored.
Okay, hold on. I got you. And this is Tupac, White Man's World.
White man's world. I ain't saying the minutes for that,
And that's Tupac White Man's World. So I hope you guys have been listening to all the amazing songs that everyone has shared with us. So many different stories that have been connected with these songs. So many different reasons and memories connected to this, to these different songs. And it's always amazing, as we've said over and over again, it's always amazing how music anchors our souls and what it does to us and every single generation. And, you know, and here's the perfect time for a plug. If you want, you can always go to Melmory.com. And this is where melodies and memories combine. Dr. Navigator, that's me. And guys, make sure that you join me and Dr. Navigator on Mondays, Motivational Monday, Motivational Love with Dr. Navigator and Naomi Love, and Mr. Lane's show on Wednesday with Wednesday's Wisdom. And we'll be talking to you soon. And that's the show for tonight. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, Lord God, once again, I'd like to thank you for another opportunity where we came together and we actually, you know, did your will. Heavenly Father, I pray and ask that the information that actually was projected throughout this section was productive, successful for someone, that someone heard something that actually, you know, motivated them to do something better for not only themselves but their communities. Heavenly Father, we'd like to give you all, you know, glory and thanks for the love that you have instilled within us, that we could project it to others so that the communities can be actually a foundation built off the same love that you have shown to us. Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you. We just couldn't give you enough praises, enough thanks for the opportunity to come together here on Optica Network to be a pillar for you, you know, to do what you will have us to do, to be a disciple and actually be a follower of you, Heavenly Father, and do your will. And I pray and ask that, you, Heavenly Father, that you touch those tonight that need your healing hand. Heavenly Father, I pray next tonight that for those who are in desperate need and don't know the way, Heavenly Father, but know that you do exist, the Heavenly Father, that you reveal yourself to them, you know, through some kind of, you know, form, some kind of way, some kind of action, some kind of word, that Heavenly Father gets with your presence, that they can have a different, you know, viewpoint and, you know, a way of thanking the Heavenly Father, that they can actually raise up out of their depressed state or their sickness or their suffering, Heavenly Father, and you give you all the praise and the glory for that newfound, you know, feeling. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you and I thank you for everyone that has something to do with Optica Network, for the host, the producer, the listeners, those in the chat room. Heavenly Father, I just give you all praises and glory in your existence, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone, so much for calling in tonight. Tonight, we talked about music in my soul, so I just want to encourage you all to get some music in your soul this week. Find you some great music to connect to. And we talked about Denise Williams, Kendrick Lamar, George Benson, Tupac, and gospel music. So find you some good music to listen to. Be encouraged. Be motivated. We love you all, and that is the show. Good night. Thank you to Dr. Navigator, Mr. Lane, Brother G, Casanova, Sister Stephanie. Thank you for everyone, and thank you all our listeners. You guys have a great night. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Where did all the blue sky?